Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad that you've tuned into the program today. In our lineup, we're going to be starting a new segment about global warming. It's been an item that's been in the news quite a bit of late. It's been an issue causing global concern amongst pretty well all countries of the world, some to a greater degree than others. So we figure we'd start a two-part series today to discuss that topic. As well, in our first half hour, we will be sharing an amazing fact from our Amazing Facts collection.
And we are going to start out looking at the our health tips, which we have from the Lifeline Productions. And this time we're going to look at the UV protection. And at this time of the year, the sun is coming out, and what precautions we should take. There are some benefits of sunlight, but we also need to be careful not to overdo it.
But first, I'd like to share a song with you from a CD, a self-entitled CD, by Michael Card. And the song we'll be sharing with you is entitled Heal Our Land.
And freely then will I
Photosynthesis is the process by which chlorophyll-containing organisms, such as green plants, algae, and some bacteria, capture energy in the form of light and convert it to chemical energy, while also transforming carbon dioxide into life-giving oxygen. Virtually all the energy available for life on Earth is made available through photosynthesis. To produce the same amount of energy that trees and plants produce from sunlight in one day would require all the coal in 20,500,000 coal cars, or the equivalent of a coal train that wraps around the world 6 times. It takes almost 9 minutes for a photon of light to travel the 93 million miles from the sun to the earth, but a plant needs only a few trillionths of a second to capture the light energy, process it, and store it in the form of a chemical bond. The bread we eat, the air we breathe, and even the wood we use to build our homes comes through this miraculous process. Lasagna, lumber, and air for our lungs come from sunlight. NASA scientists have studied this process for years, knowing that it is the secret to long-term space travel. However, so far, man has been unable to duplicate what God does so easily through plants.
This summer. Remember that the sun's ultraviolet rays can lead to sunburns, wrinkles, vision problems, and skin cancer. To prevent harmful UV exposure, try to limit sun exposure during 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. when the sun's rays are the strongest. Even if you are not a sunbather, the sun's rays can penetrate many types of clothing as well as windows. Use a sunscreen with a minimum SPF of 15 and wear a wide-brimmed hat. The Skin Cancer Foundation also recommends using UV-protective sunglasses.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common health questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
Well, if you haven't already figured out, our amazing fact and our lifelines ties into our topic of discussion for today, a topic of discussion that we will be carrying on for the next couple of weeks. The issue of global warming, climate change, is an issue that is relevant to us today and has drastic consequences for us. So as we jump off into the subject, I want to play for you a media clip that was played over the CBC airwaves within the recent past weeks.
Of scientists and policymakers in Paris has concluded the climate is indeed changing as a result of human activities. Even after the findings were reviewed and negotiated by political representatives, the results remain devastating and in some cases nearly irreversible. David Common reports from the Paris meeting.
The scientists are predicting more intense heat waves, droughts, cyclones, and storms, saying the average temperature is increasing, that human influence is almost certainly the cause. primarily from burning fossil fuels and intensive agriculture. To skeptics who suggest temperature changes are no more than natural variation, the report argues the range of increase is far more than seen in 650,000 years. Akeem Steiner is with the UN's Environment Program.
The world has moved closer to the edge of climate change, changing the fundamentals of life on this planet. And we have not yet seen a breakthrough in the international process to agree on emissions reduction that science is telling us we need to do.
Glaciers are rapidly melting on mountains and in the Arctic and Greenland. That has likely and will continue to contribute to rapidly rising sea levels. 11 of the past 12 years are the warmest since 1850 and will increase 2 to 4 degrees this century. The findings are the result of 20 years' study, 2,000 scientists' work, and are the most conclusive yet from the International Panel on Climate Change, a UN body. Some have criticized governments which had the opportunity to negotiate the conclusions of the study, but it is now those governments who must decide what they'll do about it.
On Reflection Time, we try to look at these world events from a biblical point of view. And it's interesting when you listen to comments or wording being used in the secular media, how it ties in very much to biblical language. In Luke 21, the disciples asked Jesus, what would be the signs preceding your second coming? And in verse 11 of Luke 21, it says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall be there from the heavens. It's interesting that, you know, that there's an essence of that same wording used in that media clip that we played. Mary, I know there's a few things that came to mind listening to that clip that you'd like to share as well.
Well, there's a few things that was brought out in the clip we just listened to. One of the things was saying this is unprecedented, these changes since 1850 until today. They have noticed, you know, dramatic changes in our climate that affects various aspects of our life, not just ours, but everything on the planet. And it's interesting, they also refer to 600,000 years of time since, you know, according to the evolutionary ideas. But I even thought 600,000 years in the evolution idea seemed to be very small. What happened before that? There seemed to be very drastic changes in the environment, and the scientists don't seem to think much about it. They just said it was a progression that we were getting better, or the environment is taking care of itself. And now we're seeing that even just the last 100 years, over 100 years, we're seeing dramatic exponential changes in our lifetime, or that we in our recording lifetime, and we're getting, you know, concerned that this is not just a chance or a cycle, but seem to be have consequences within the next 100 years. They're not sure how the climate will sustain itself.
Yeah. That's a good point, because if a scientist wanted to look at this from an evolutionary point of view, evolution requires a constant, you know, throughout long periods of time. When they look at strata in the ground, it requires a constant formation over vast periods of time, really. Now they're only referring to the past 600,000 years. Like say, what happened to the previous hundreds of millions of years that they, you know, so often like to refer to? But something else that came to mind as well, a couple things came to mind listening to that clip, is that right now, for the past, you know, few hundred years, you know, a few thousand years, the planet has been in a greater level of stasis compared to our turbulent environmental past. But another thing comes to mind as well when we look at what has taken place over the last 100 years, environmentally speaking. What comes to mind is we look at the East now, you know, countries like China, Indonesia, Malaysia, who are becoming industrialized nations, and it almost seems like the wrongdoings or the negative effect that we've had on our climate for the past 100 years will happen exponentially faster in these countries. We see it taking place, though, in diet and health. These countries who were much further ahead than us with regards to health and you know, proper eating and so forth, are seeing the effects already of a Western diet. And once they become industrialized and environmentally affect the global climate, it will happen, and its effects will happen to a much greater degree, much quicker than the 100-year span we look at here in the West.
Yes, and as this article, as we are the clip we just listened to, the one thing that stood out, Paul, was that they refer to the global warming as a man-made. 90%, they're saying now, it's contributed because of a human, burning fossils and so on. And there was an interesting quote here that I found in the Associated Press on February 2nd. Says here, we are creating a different planet. If you were to come back in 100 years' time, we'll have a different climate. And this was by Sharon Hayes, Associate Director of Office of Science and Technology Policy at the White House. You know, it's interesting that they're seeing what things are happening, and they're using the word creating a different planet and man-made. And I just thought to myself, well, that sounds very much, you know, if you look back in Genesis 1:28, and it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. So in the beginning of Genesis, you know, God gave the first parent, you know, Adam and Eve, that they were supposed to be stewardship of what he had created, and they were supposed to take care of it. And we'll see what effects now are over these, you know, a little bit over 6,000 years, what effects it has in our society in terms of how do we steward, takes care of something that God had created and given us that the responsibility.
Yeah, because when the earth was created, it was created in a perfect balance.
Yeah, it was harmony.
Yeah, you don't want too much of something or too little of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's good doesn't necessarily mean you twice as much to make it twice as good. You know, it throws it out of balance. For instance, this issue of global warming or environment change, as some people refer to it, as we look at substances that, you know, create or consist of these greenhouse gases, you know, carbon dioxide and methane are probably the two biggest ones.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones such as, you know, nitrous oxides, CFCs, ozone, not as significant, but yet considered as greenhouse gases. Well, these need to exist in balance.
Yes.
But, you know, when you add too much, you know, carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, it, you know, it holds in that much more heat when in actual fact, the Earth only needs to hold in so much heat, you know, in order to maintain that balance. So environmentally, you know, looking at the planet, it seems to be a fragile balance that, you know, must be maintained. And it doesn't take much to throw it out of kilter. We look at the past 100 years and how, you know, a devastating effect that it's had on the atmosphere compared to, you know, the number of years, you know, preceding the 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, recently there was a conference held in Paris, France, in which they released a report, released just on the 1st of February. And they highlight this issue of global warming and then make an interesting statement. There can be no question that the increase in greenhouse gases are dominated by human activities.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, you know, it talks about some dire consequences that we can face. Some of them, they say, are irreversible already. You know, and they're calling for drastic changes now to implement to sort of curb what they're forecasting will take place because of this global warming. You know, they talk about sea levels rising 7 to 23 inches within, you know, by the end of the century. They talk about an ice-free Arctic. You know, myself having spent some time up in the Arctic,
yes.
I mean, that ice is pretty hard and pretty heavy stuff to go through. But yet, you know, the thought of an ice-free Arctic, what a drastic change that would be. You know, not just from a human point of view, but from, you know, the overall environmental issues, a way of life, you know. And you wonder, you know, is it a spiral effect? You know, once it starts to warm up, does it warm up faster? You know, is it... what are the long-term consequences? And there's certainly some stark warnings that came out of that report from Paris.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting, too. You can see that even trying to do something good for the environment, and I just saw an article here from Amsterdam, January 25th. It says, once a dream fuel, palm oil may be an eco-nightmare. And I thought, you know, in Holland and Europe specifically, they're moving very rapidly into changing into, removing some of these coal or fossil fuels to include what's called biofuels, and this would be particularly from palm oil, because the fine palm oil is the one that gives most energy of all the different vegetable oils. And but they have discovered, to their dismay, I guess, that the palm oils, palm comes from palm nuts in the Malaysia. And what people are doing there, Paul, is that they're cutting down the trees and they're burning it so they can actually grow these, because they're becoming now a hot commodity, so to speak, because of the need in European countries to run the various things on palm oil. Well, they discovered that in one place in the world where they're trying to be more energy efficient, what's happening in Malaysia is actually increasing carbon dioxide problems, because they're burning the things there in order to provide for the Europeans or the Western world, in order for us to cut down our emissions. So yeah. it's a vicious cycle. Right? Yeah.
Now, in next week's program, we're going to pretty well devote the program to that, to talk about sort of the downward spiral effect of, you know, deforestation and the energy that goes into that, and the deforestation taking place, you know, to grow crops for fuels and to grow crops to feed livestock. And we're going to devote next week's program to that. But, you know, just on that issue as well about the palm oil, even here in North America, this issue of ethanol, you know, growing crops so they can extract the oil for burning. I mean, when you think about that, you know, there's people starving in the world,
yes,
but yet we want to grow crops, not to feed people, but yet to satisfy
continue.
Our desire for fuel,
yes,
you know, to have oil products to burn.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, it logically doesn't make sense to me. But yet we do it. And as we mentioned earlier, once the other industrialized, you know, countries who are just getting into that industrial revolution, so to speak, you know, once they have a great desire, what are they going to draw upon? You know, we can only grow so much crops for fuels. You know, at some point, you know, are we going to stop using our crops for food and using it for fuels? You know, it just seems to be throwing things out of balance much more than it is even right now. There's been a couple other articles in the news there lately from about the, you know, the Kyoto Protocol, and you know, we know that, you know, Canada's stance up until now has sort of back away from that. The United States has never really had an interest in signing that, but I know other countries around the world are sort of pointing the fingers now at the United States or countries who do not support that, to sort of come up with something to curb the fossil fuel emissions or the CO2 emissions.
Yes, and I know, for instance, France has been very prominent in the European Union to actually put taxes. They'll call them carbon tax. And Mr. Chirac said, if it's European, I believe it will be European. It will be the same, have a certain influence, because it means that all the countries that do not accept the minimum obligations will be obliged to pay. And, of course, it specifically is aimed at George Bush and the United States, that which is, by the way, America is the largest European trader trading their goods. And now the Chirac is saying, you know, Europe is moving ahead and America better follow, because of the global problems it's going to have. And I, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, that Europe is trying to kind of coerce or say to America that you need to follow suit as well, or we're going to put these taxes. And of course, anything that comes with taxes between trade, it becomes a very, very, creates a very, how should I say, you know, between the lawyers, between different countries, because how do we deal with that? Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, it's not concrete. It affects so many lives and so many different, areas of our lives and industry and business and so on.
Sure, yeah. Always comes down to the dollar, doesn't it?
Yes, it's always something with profits, in the end forces people to make decision, you know. If you just keep going, we will just keep going and not change things. But, it's interesting that, I thought I'd just share a text with, Paul refers to, in Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very fitting word, I think, that Paul is bringing out here. The whole creation is, you know,
travaileth. That ties into another article that I read there on, that was published January 30th of this year. It says, can humanity survive? It says, want to bet on it? you know, because as scientists, have a much more drastic view of the environment as what can happen. Others have more of a maybe of a passive type view on what can happen with the environment. But they all have a general agreement. There's another article there saying, you know, world scientists near consensus on warning. They all recognize that, you know, they don't know to what degree this is going to have an effect on us, but they know that something is happening in a negative way. And they know that there's going to be some dire consequences for us. The things that we've seen take place in the world over the past few years, you know, the tsunami comes to mind. You know, the earthquakes, you know, the not this past season, but season four before that, the hurricanes, you know, going up the eastern seaboard into the Gulf of Mexico. You know, we can, you know, scientists are telling us that, you know, these will become more frequent and more devastating because of this global warming issue becoming more drastic, really.
Mm. And, you know, God has showed us in his word that these things are going to be one of the signs that we need to focus our life. He puts these signs so we can know where he's soon coming. And, you know, people always say, well, there have always been earthquakes and there have always been these things. Just go through cycles. And just the fact that we are a little bit better informed today and with communication that we have that didn't have before, and that's why we're seeing these things. Well, I think, Paul, the fact that we have these tremendous communications and computers and so on, we can actually see that there is actually more a frequency of these things happening than in the past. And the Bible describes that as a woman who is just being in the pains of labor. You know, they come very frequently as just before the birth. I think we're seeing some of these things in nature and in various aspects that God warned us, and to show us that he's in control despite what we neglected to do, you know, and that he is coming soon.
Mm. And just in closing, there's a couple of verses that I want to share that come to mind. One is from Isaiah 51, verse 6. It says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment." Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We see the earth waxing old like a garment.
Yes.
Because of our lack of stewardship on our part, you know, the earth is getting older and older, and we see it becoming less able to sustain life in general.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a promise found in 2 Peter 3, verse 13 that says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Yeah. We know that we live, and we've often mentioned this in the program, we live in the days just prior to the second coming of Christ to take his people home.
Yes.
And that in Revelation as well, it talks about, you know, there will be a new heavens and a new earth, you know, which there'll be no more death, you know, no more crying, no more tears. And though we look at our world right now, we see global warming take place, and we see the spin-off effects from that. We know that you know, God is still in control, and that God's people await his soon return. Well, that brings our program to an end for today. If anybody would like to share any comments with us, or if you have any questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. We will continue with this topic of discussion on our first half hour of next week's program, and we'll look further into this issue about some of our lifestyle choices that we make, especially around diet and how it affects global warming. Very interesting program. I invite you to tune in. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.